If you need to contact Narcotics Anonymous or are interested in our sponsorship Behind the Walls program, please contact ARSC Regional H&I, P.O. Box 1351, Phoenix, Arizona 85001. NA literature can be found on the tablets in the Adovo app by searching for Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous does not endorse and is not affiliated with the tablet manufacturer, the software, or the institution.
All right, welcome to another Arizona Narcotics Anonymous Recovery Discussion speaker recording. Today we have Eddie C. with us, who will be sharing on step one. Eddie, take it away.
Thank you. My name's Eddie and I'm an addict. I'd like to start out by telling everybody that listens to this that my DOC number is 119291. I was released from Douglas State Prison in, believe it was June 26, 1998. And I'd like to share that so that everybody understands that I'm not no different than anybody that's listening to this recording. The truth is that I couldn't stay out of prison. Before I went to prison the last time, man, I was given a gift of salvation. I started going to some NA meetings. I got some exposure to recovery, and I didn't believe them. Man, I didn't believe that it was possible that I can find a better way to live. I believe that because of where I come from and how I grew up, that I was destined to do what I've always done. I always thought I was slicker. I didn't believe that I should have to pay for anything. I believe that if I worked hard, I should play hard. I had a lot of messed up belief systems, man, that that kept me in that trap, in that hole where I couldn't stay out of prison. Upon release from an institution, in our literature, it says, go to a meeting, contact a member of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's what I did. I called the NA hotline. I went to my first meeting June 27th. I went to my first meeting, and that's when my recovery started. Now, when I went there, nobody looked like me. Nobody talked. I had just got out of prison, so, you know, I was talking crazy. Because in prison, we got our own language of love. You know what I mean? This is the way that we talk to each other. And everything was different. Nobody was like me. And they told me to just keep coming back no matter what. Just keep coming back. And that's what I did. It's not like I had anywhere to go, man. I understood some basic principles. Upon release from an institution like prison, I didn't have any clothes. I didn't have any money. I had nowhere to go except to meetings. You know, if I go to meetings, at least maybe I can meet some friends. And truth is, I was looking to meet a girl. And if I'd have settled just for that, man, I would rob myself. I came here today to share on step one, my understanding of step one. So in the very beginning, there's some basic things that I believe that every addict needs. You need to find a home group. That's a place that you go on a weekly basis or a daily basis, so that people get to know you. You need to find a sponsor. And the reason for a sponsor, man, is I can't spot self-deception. And what that means is that I lie to myself. I talk myself into the stupidest stuff, and I don't know what the reality is. I think I got it figured out. I think I'm smarter than everybody. And I really need that sponsor to help guide me and keep me honest and keep me away from my own insanity. Now, in step one, what I learned was three spiritual principles. And I just want to break them down for you real easy. Because reading the step and writing on it, sometimes it gets long and I get afraid that I can't remember everything in the step. So here's what I learned in the step is that there's three spiritual principles that I need to walk with. Just three words I need to remember. And the three words are this: honesty, acceptance, and surrender. And I want to break that down for you. When something happens, anything, it could be showed up late for work, I feel like shit, my boss talked shit to me, and I want to retaliate. I need to get honest about something. And I need to get honest about something real simple like did I go to sleep on time? You know what I mean? Or was it an honest mistake that the alarm didn't go off and I just didn't get up? And I need to remind myself that I'm fallible, man, and shit happens, man. That's stuff like that's gonna happen, and I don't have to beat myself up behind it. The next piece of after the honesty part is that I have to accept what just happened. And acceptance is could be a tricky thing. I want you to think about I have to accept the fact that I'm an addict, man, and that I make mistakes, or I have to accept the fact that I asked somebody to wake me up and they weren't reliable, and it wasn't the best idea to ask somebody to wake me up when it was my responsibility. I have to accept the fact that I come from a real broken place, man, and I have to forgive myself when I don't meet an expectation. The last piece on that spiritual principle is surrender. And I want to talk a little bit about surrender because it's real easy. They say, oh, we surrender to the court, we surrender to the judge, we surrender to prison. None of those things taste good. I mean, I don't want to hear it. And what happened for me was that I needed to surrender to the fact that I suffer from a disease that has no known cure. It makes me fucking crazy, and it makes me act out at the drop of a dime. I have a disease that lives between my ears, and it tells me shit like just a bump will get me past the day, just a little bit. All I need is a little bit, and I'll be all right. I have a disease that tells me things that aren't right, man. I have a disease that'll tell me things that'll have me out there robbing and stealing and making it seem like it's okay because somebody owes me something. And part of that surrender piece is finding a God of my understanding. So there's a couple of ways that I surrender. It's as easy as just talking to my sponsor and say, hey, I fucked up, man. I fucked up. This happened, and I don't want this to happen again. Just getting honest with myself, accepting the fact that I am a fucking a junkie and I can't stop getting high, and accept the fact that I'm human, man, and this stuff is gonna happen, and it's gonna be okay because I don't. Tomorrow is a whole nother day, and I don't have to relive this day again. Another part of surrender is finding the God of my understanding, as I was describing earlier. And that could be tricky for a couple of us, man. How do you find a God of your understanding? What does that even mean? I mean, I come from a rough camp, man. I come from a place where it was fucking hard growing up. I don't remember seeing God on the corners I hung out on. But I'm here to tell you, man, after all the time that I've been clean, that there was a God taking care of me through everything that happened to me. I've been shot numerous times. I've been in prison numerous times. They tried to kill me more times than I can remember. And not because it was an accident or I was at the wrong place or the wrong time. It's because this is the stuff that I did. These are the things I put myself through. I did these things because I wanted to get one more. And it was always about the same thing. I wanted one more. Just a little bit more dope. Just a little bit more money. It was always the same thing. And I had no control over it. Once it started, I had no control over it. So most of the fellows will probably listen to this video, and I want to talk about something that's real sensitive to us, and it falls right in line with this first step. Relationships, man. Relationships can be such a terribly painful area for us. We're real quick to fall in love. We're real quick to take ownership. And the truth is that no one ever taught me how to be a man in a relationship. No one ever showed me how. So what do? I fucking possess shit. I take control. I make bitches mine. And I let them know that they're mine. And I think because I'm manly, that this is the way I need to treat people. Never mind the fact that I can't get honest about what my real feelings are. The truth is, my feelings are is that I suffer from lust, man, and I just want to have sex. And in order to have sex, there's some things that you have to surrender. Like you got to take a girl out to eat, and you got to buy her nice stuff. And I don't want to do none of that shit. I just want to have sex. But I can't be honest with myself about that. So I got to get honest about what is it that I really want in these relationships. You know, I come from a broken home, man. So nobody ever taught me how to be a man, a stand-up guy, and how to treat a girl. Other than having sex, that's the only thing I knew how to do. I didn't know how to compromise and how to reason with a woman. And I can't get honest about that shit. That's not something that I talk to my fucking bunkie about. You dig what I'm saying? That's not something that I talk to the fellas about it and tell them that I'm afraid and I really like this girl and it ain't working. That's why honesty is such a big piece about that first step, man, and why sponsorship and a support group and a home group, why all these things that we keep talking about as you listen to these tapes, why they're so important. I can't do this shit by myself. If I could, I wouldn't be in fucking prison. If I could do these things alone, then I wouldn't need to be on this fucking tape. I wouldn't need to go to meetings. I don't know how. And I got to tell you, family, that I've been clean 26 years and I still go to meetings and I still have a sponsor and I still work steps and I still talk to him about what's going on. I still have a support group. See, because I got a disease, man, that tells me that the shit in front of me ain't real and that how I'm feeling, I can do whatever I want with my feelings and pay no, and there are no fucking consequences. Well, how about this tough guy? Fuck it, I'll do time. I don't give a fuck. I don't know how many times I said that until I was doing time and I started giving a fuck. So here I go. I got to get honest, man. I get out of prison. I've been without companionship for a long time, and I believe that I need to be fulfilled with a girl. I need that. Because that signifies that I'm a man and I need to get my issue. And I gotta be real blunt about some of this stuff because a lot of you are gonna come home eventually and you're gonna get caught up in the same fucking trick bag. We have a saying here in Narcotics Anonymous, man. When you start going to meetings, they say you come to meetings, you stay clean for 30, 60, 90 days. The next thing that happens is you get a job and you feel good about yourself. You got some money in your pocket. The next thing they say is that then you get a car and all of a sudden you're mobile and you can drive places and you go into meetings and you feel good and everything's great and you got a couple of dollars in your pocket. You're not bumming for gas. You got gas money. And then the next thing that happens is you get a girl. And all of a sudden, meetings don't become that important because she does. And the last thing that happens is you gotta go. All of a sudden, you ain't got no time for meetings. And I can't get honest about that shit. I don't know how. So what do I do? What are my choices? My choices are, if I go to a meeting, I get a sponsor, I start working steps, maybe I got a chance. Maybe I can stay clean like some other people I've seen do it. Because you got to remember, man, when you start showing up, you're going to see people that have been clean. And those are your predecessors. Those are the people that you look up to and you say, hey, if that guy can stay clean, so can I. So okay, I learned how to get honest. You know, I don't know how to be emotional with a girl. I don't know whatever it is that whatever my fucking hang up is, I don't know how to do it. I just don't know how to do it. The next step is I get honest with somebody that can teach me how to work through those issues. The very next step is the acceptance that I talked about earlier. What do I have to accept? How about I accept the fact that I come from a fucking broken place, man? Normal people don't go to fucking prison. It just ain't normal. I am not normal. I come from a broken place. I am a man that's in search of being something better, my very best. And I don't know how to fucking do that. Here in Narcotics Anonymous, we call it the disease of addiction. So here it is, man. I get honest about what how I feel. I accept the fact that I suffer from the disease of addiction, that my parents didn't teach me how to be relational. They just didn't. So what do I do now? I got honest, I practice acceptance. The last piece is surrender. How does that even work? How do I surrender to the fact that I come from a fucking broken place and that I'm a fucking junkie and I can't stop getting high and I use the fucking drugs because I'm an emotional coward and I hide all my fucking feelings? So this is what I do. I talk to sponsor. Sponsor introduces me to a God of my understanding, somebody I can talk to, somebody I can pray to that's greater than me and that will have my best interests at heart, that cares about what happens to me. When was the last time anybody that's listening to this recording ever had somebody that truly cared about what was the best thing for them? And I'm not talking about mom. Mom always comes and visits us until she gets mad at you. I'm talking about someone, something, some entity that truly cares what happens to you and what's the best thing for you. Here in Narcotics Anonymous, they talk about when God closes one door, it's because he's opening up another one. Most prayers around here are answered real simple. God says, "Hey, no." God will say yes, or God will say, "Hold on, I got something better for you." But you ain't gonna hear none of that stuff unless you take the opportunity and the time to have a serious, real conversation with the God of your understanding. If you don't have one, we will help you find a God. Life's not easy. But I gotta tell you, man, life's a whole lot easier here than it is being locked up. Worrying about things that I have no control over. So the first step, in three simple words, honesty, acceptance, and surrender. Those are the only three spiritual principles you need to remember. The cool thing about the first step is that if you work it and live it in your life, you'll probably never get high. The bad thing about that is that it doesn't guarantee you're going to be happy. That's why we work the rest of the steps after that. I didn't come here to be miserable. I didn't go through all this trouble and not use for all these years and do all this step work to be fucking miserable. So I continue to do the work because I want to find happiness. I want to find peace in my life. How about I just want the noise in my head to stop, man? I don't know if anybody that's listening to this can identify with the fucking noise between your ears, that fucking bullshit constantly talking to you. Especially when I don't feel good about myself, or I think they're talking about me, or I think that guy in the yard don't like me. And I need to get him before he gets me, because my brain tells me some real fucking crazy shit. I was so blessed to be able to get out of prison in one piece. When I was locked up, not everybody made it out. It was rough, man. You guys are there. You guys know how it is. It can be real fucking rough walking the yard sometimes, especially if you ain't acting right. You guys have seen it. So it's imperative for me to find some peace, some serenity. I need to find something to keep it together in my head so that I can survive what's going on right now. And it starts with a first step. Now, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you've seen the literature that we have to offer, and you've heard about the program Behind the Walls. I firmly suggest that you use it until you come home. And when you come home, it's real simple. Chapter 6 in the basic text tells us what to do. It tells us to go to a meeting. It tells us to go to 90 meetings in 90 days, find a sponsor and work steps. And it says that for a reason. Because I do not have my best interest at heart, no matter what the fuck I tell, because I'm good at talking shit. I can spin up a story real fast. I can make you think the world, because we're all good at that. I can make it look like everything's okay and everything's hunky dory, and it's not. It's imperative, man, if you want to find some peace, to follow some direction. And you don't have to follow mine. Maybe so you'll hear another speaker tape and they may tell you a story and you'll be able to identify with it. Shit is painful, man. When I'm not getting high, when I am not using drugs, I am forced to deal with reality. I am forced to feel my fucking feelings, man, and I'm an emotional coward, man, and I don't want to do that. And that's not something that I could walk around the yard with the fellas and talk about. It's just not. And I hope you guys can identify with where I'm coming from with this. Take advantage of the programs that have been set in front of you. Take advantage of the literature. Work a first step. Honesty, acceptance, and surrender are the three spiritual principles that I live by. That's what gets me started in the day. Because I can surrender and still be miserable and unhappy, but that's when I move to the next step. That's when I call my sponsor and tell him what a shitty fucking day I'm having. I can guarantee you, man, that if you follow some direction, your life will get better. It just naturally will. If I revolve myself around people in recovery, people that want my best interest at heart, life gets better for me. I can't promise you a mansion and a yacht and a wife and three kids and a picket fence. That stuff you're gonna have to get on your own. I can't promise you none of that. What I can promise you is that anything you want, you can get. We are creative. We have the greatest imagination known to man. Addicts do. We are creative. We are hard workers. There's nothing we can't do. There's nothing we can't become. I got friends that are doctors. I got friends that are lawyers, engineers, architects. And I have a lot of friends that just like simple stuff. They work at Fry's Supermarket. They take care of their families. Doesn't matter what you want to become. The thing is that you can become anything you want if you are willing to take some suggestions. Real simple. For those of you coming home soon, this is what I suggest. Go to 90 meetings in 90 days, get a sponsor and work steps. When I got out of prison, I went to a halfway house that was within walking distance to a meeting. Because you know what my excuse is. I live in Arizona and it's too fucking hot. I'm too tired. I don't want to go. So I made sure that I lived at a place that was walking distance to meetings. I wanted to eliminate that biggest excuse. How about this? I go to a meeting, or I'm embarrassed and I don't want to ask nobody for a ride. That's why I am within walking distance to a meeting. I eliminated the excuses because I got honest with myself. I practice acceptance that I suffer from the disease of addiction, and I surrendered and I prayed about it. And what came out of all that praying and meditation was is that if I could walk to a meeting, then I don't got nothing to bitch about. I had four NA meetings within walking distance from the halfway house I lived in. And that's where my recovery started. If you come to Phoenix, Arizona area, you'll run into me. My name is Eddie C. I hope you enjoyed the recording, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
If you would like to speak directly with a member of Narcotics Anonymous, please contact our phone line at 844-991-AZNA. Again, that's 844-991-2962.